Good afternoon to you. It is Thursday, April 4th at 2:08 p.m. The perfect time to have a quick cast today. Why? Because it fits right in my schedule where I can actually do something. It doesn't make much sense when I post. I know that. You know that. That's part of my charm. Hope you're able to sit down, take a listen. I've got a few thoughts on what's upcoming for Purdue on Saturday evening, Saturday late afternoon, depending on where you are in the country. I've got further notes on what happened to me and my stupid search and my struggle to get to Phoenix. I failed. that's the short version, but I'll talk about that in a second. Appreciate everybody reaching out to me, trying to make it happen. Chris Harder, especially with his connections to the airline he works for, doing his best to try to help me find something. And he did find a route that was almost there. We almost got it done. We're this close. Before I get into it, before I get deep into my thoughts, my analysis, two-bit analysis, let me thank our friends at Homefield Apparel. Head over to homefieldapparel.com. Enter Boiled23 at checkout. Get 15% off. They have not yet released anything that's Final Four related to Purdue. I got to tell you, I wish they would. I wish they would do something with some rapid, I don't, you know, like some development. The licenses are hard. I've been in that part of the business, but I can't wait to see the Final Four stuff that they're going to have. It'll be cool. If you can't wait that long, they got a lot of good gear. Then when you're on campus, maybe you're going to be on campus on Monday night because you couldn't make it to Phoenix. I would suggest head towards the fire station, head towards AJ's. If you want to order ahead or you want to order to your place, eataj's.com. When you go in there, you're going to see lots of televisions. You're going to see lots of smiling faces. You're going to see mac and cheese bites. You're going to see the most delicious pretzels you're ever going to put in your gullet. Burgers, beef, beer, and little boiled sports magnets at the bottom of your beer. That's AJ's. So there's some interesting things going on out and about if you're trying to figure out how to get to Phoenix. A lot of people have gotten innovative, a lot of Purdue people. And a lot of people have a little more gumption than I do. There are people that are driving from the Northeast. There are people that are driving from Texas. There are people that are driving from Middle America. There are people that are driving from the West Coast. It's actually, it's weird. I can't get my head around, pardon me, my allergies stink. I can't get my head around how close San Diego is to Phoenix. It's just a bit over 5 hours for a drive. An old buddy of mine, a guy that was on my floor when I was an RA, gave me a suggestion. He said, why don't you just fly into San Diego and drive with us? Super nice offer. I mean, honestly, warmed my heart, really appreciated it. I couldn't get it to work because getting back is the hard thing, especially if you're in any sort of time pinch, which I am. Getting back to Indiana with the confluence of the Final Four traffic and this eclipse. If you've done it, if you've wrestled this bear, maybe you've had the same experience that I have. A lot of people had good suggestions. Cleveland, South Bend, Fort Wayne, Grand Rapids, Lexington, all good suggestions. And then somebody, Chris, gave me the suggestion, why don't you fly out of Quad Cities, Moline, Illinois, Davenport, Iowa Airport. And so I looked at it, and it actually worked. And I was like, this doesn't make any sense. Seems like it should be too far away. No, it's about a five-hour drive. So this is in that target zone. And I would go into Mesa instead of Phoenix, but I could not get back home on time because of that five-hour drive. It's just a space-time continuum problem I've got. Couldn't make it work. And I'm honestly heartbroken as I watch different things, like people recording the wings of their Southwest Airlines plane or Allegiant Air plane landing in Phoenix, or people like Brian Newbert driving around Phoenix, looking at desert, looking at palm trees, looking at cacti. I'm a little heartsick that I can't be there with our Purdue family, but I believe there's going to be plenty of us around Central Indiana. The big thing, I want to feel that vibe, wish I could be in Phoenix, but I called my search yesterday at about 10 a.m., maybe 9 a.m. I said, no mas, can't do it. So that's the bad thing. It's a wet blanket. But the good news is Purdue is still playing. In spite of me not being there, they're going to carry on. They're going to be just fine. And if you've been watching, there's so many things to watch. And you maybe you've flipped your gear from looking back at Tennessee to looking ahead to NC State. I've done that in the last 12 hours. And I did a little bit of research. Somebody had a good suggestion saying, what about a comparison of Travion Williams and DJ Burns? That's a good suggestion. Because you think, okay, Edie used to practice against Travion all the time, and we know Travion pretty well, but what about a comparison? Well, the easy comparison is Trey was 6'8", 265 last time he played at Purdue. I think he's a little leaner than that. He's kind of an incredible case of a guy just working his way into a new physique, a new build. I mean, he's lean now. If you watch his highlights now, which I still follow him on Instagram, it's great to see. He's still a dancing bear, he's still a big guy, but he's nowhere near the big, just bigger guy that he used to be. And he still passes like he used to. And DJ Burns is similarly, good footwork, really good with the ball in his hands, finds open men really well, is clever with the ball. He's not conventional. Those two are very very similar. And DJ Burns is listed at 6'9", 275. DJ, we're friends here. And I got to tell you, I have been watching DJ Burns interviews for the last couple days. The dude's great. He's entertaining. He's likable. I watched him on Dan Patrick's show. He's, I mean, really, really fun to root for that kid, for the NC State fans. And I've enjoyed watching him, okay? But he's 275 like I'm 150. We'll move on. Regardless, DJ Burns is a skilled player. Good dude, seems like. It's tougher to for Purdue to play a team that's filled with likable guys. I like Keats. I like their coach. I love his music. Like I told you, I think he looks like an 80s R&B singer with his mock turtlenecks and just smooth way. I think they've got a good, solid team. They're very interesting. They're another team like Illinois that is the antithesis of Purdue in that their team is built on transfers. Built on transfers, plain and simple. It doesn't mean anything bad. It's just sometimes it doesn't work, sometimes it does, and it's worked out pretty well for NC State. They look really strong. Obviously, they're peaking at the right time. We've talked about this for years. What's it like to peak in March? Well, if anybody knows this, it's NC State, and they know it to a historical level. For an 11 seed to be where they are, it's absolutely incredible. Good for NC State. Good for NC State fans. I have a lot of respect for NC State as a university as well. My son, that was on his list of where he was looking to go, and we visited them when we visited North Carolina. I loved the feel of NC State more than. And it's weird. NC State's campus is not very pretty. I'm just be real honest. It's not. But I like the people there a lot. I like the vibe. I like the fact it was engineering based. It felt very familiar to me. I think many Purdue fans, if you visited that campus, you're like, yeah, it has some things that remind you of the fairest in all the land. All that said, they're now Purdue's opponent, and they're in the way of Purdue getting to where they need to go, and Purdue where Purdue should still have their eyes set on and had their jaws locked to get through this NC State team. So what do we know about NC State? Let me talk a little bit about that. All right, in case you haven't done any research, that's okay. NC State's 26-14 right now as they stand. On offense, they're the 40th best, and on defense, they're the 44th best. For reference on defense, because I looked at defense specifically, not offense, because I think NC State's offense has been humming along pretty well, and Purdue had one of their worst three-point shooting games. Pardon me. Purdue had their worst three-point shooting game versus Tennessee. Purdue's very due for a big offensive explosion, in my opinion. And I think they're going to have it versus NC State unless NC State's guards can lock down Purdue. Now, this is what the whole thing. Purdue has, this year, they've gotten better at shooting three-pointers because Painter says we've just been taking better shots. Better shot selection leads to higher three-point execution. Purdue took some good shots versus Tennessee that weren't falling. The Wilson ball's still there for those Wilson conspiracy theorists. It travels to Phoenix as well. And bigger and worse than that, to me, something that is a quantifiable difference for shooting teams, that is the open-air feel of a domed stadium. This is an exceptionally big stadium, too, vertically. So that could be a factor. And Fletch Lawyer even talked about he's never played in a domed football stadium. Never. I bet he's not alone. I don't know who else has played in a domed football stadium on Purdue's team, but I don't think there are a lot of Purdue players that have there. On top of that, I don't think there are a lot of NC State players that have done that. Purdue's a better shooting team than NC State, though. They're a better offensive team. Purdue, offensively, I think, is second after UConn. So it's a game that you say, okay, so how does Purdue win? How does NC State win? Those sort of questions start bubbling up in your mind. Purdue's favored by 8 if you're into that Vegas thing. I'm really not. I never finished my thought. Let me go back and do that real quickly. And I apologize. I interrupted myself, which not your fault. But when you say, let's compare Travion Williams and DJ Burns because they went against Edie, I want to tell you where the comparison gets in trouble. Number one, the last time Edie battled against Travion Williams is 2 years ago. Zach Edey's a different guy. The next year after Travion left, Zach Edey became what we know him to become. He showed it very early. He was absolutely the best big man in America. The year before, you're like, okay, if you extrapolate 20 minutes out to 40 or 15 minutes out to 40, Zach Edey is the best big man in America, but you didn't know it. A lot of it was based on theory. Can he go for 40 minutes? That sort of thing. Can he play for 35 average? Well, we know now Zach Edey is one of the best conditioned athletes in America. He's one of the strongest big men in America. He's absolutely the largest big man in America that is effective. There are taller players, guys and girls, and there are other guys and other guys that are 7'4" playing in college basketball. But Edey's combination of good footwork, good hands, good strength, and indomitable will are really what make him special. Outside of that, he's really just tall. And so the whole thing about if we bring Travion Williams into the thing, I don't know if it really matters. That's my whole point. I think they're similar. The guys, I've seen multiple people, Sleepers brought this up. They said Dane Danger might be the closest comparison to DJ Burns that Purdue's played this year. He struggled versus Zach. That's noteworthy to me. The game that I try to figure out, if I look at, okay, they went through Duke and they played Trapowski. He's pillowy soft. I told you guys coming into that game, I've been talking about this for a month and a half, ever since he pretended to get hurt and tried to trip some Wake Forest students. That guy was soft, and his coach was soft, and they showed they were soft for NC State. So to me, this starts building the argument of what I think this game's all about. He also played UNC. Burns did, and NC State has gone through UNC and Marquette both. They beat both of them at UNC, I think, in the ACC tournament, and of course Marquette as well. Both teams have very good centers. The difference between those teams, again, UNC to me would simply take games off. And if you watch them, I talked about this coming in on Handsome Hours and other places. I just didn't have much faith in UNC because of their will, not because of their talent. If you look at NC State's talent, you look at Baycott's talent, extremely talented guy. He absolutely takes plays off. Edey never takes plays off. Edey wears teams out. Edey gets them in foul trouble. And so I'm going to tell you what I think the keys are in a second. Marquette had some other issues. Marquette was struggling with injury, especially at the point. Marquette didn't have as many guys that could make shots on offense. So I don't know if these are the best comparisons, what I'm saying. It's what I'm getting at. So now if we look at the battles, if you go straight through the lineup, you look at it's going to be Diarra versus TKR and Gillis, both, right? Because they're going to both be on Diarra. Diarra's good. He's lean. He's a great athlete. The question is, can Gillis and TKR's physicality match up with Diarra? That's an interesting battle. Next, of course, you've got Middlebrooks and Burns splitting time against Edey. Will they put Burns on Edey? I hear they won't. I've heard that they're not going to do that. But that leaves me to ask the question, do you put Middlebrooks in the starting lineup? Because Diarra will struggle against Edey because of his weight. He's 210 pounds. That's about 100 pounds lighter than Edey. So then you need somebody, just physics, to be on their side. I think they're going to have Burns versus Edey. On the other side, will Edey guard Burns? I don't know. I don't know the answer there. I hope that's what the matchup is, because I think that's one that Purdue wins. In my opinion, Edie will wear out Burns and Middlebrooks. Edie will create problems with Burns and Middlebrooks because the way he gets up and down the court. If, and here's the big if, the entire thing, and if you look at my picture that I put for today's game, or for today's game, for Saturday's game, today's quick cast, I had Purdue playing Purdue, if you look closely in the background. This is the battle that Purdue has. And we've talked about this coming in the NCAA tournament. This is a classic Purdue versus Purdue game, and will Purdue come out ready and set to beat this team? NC State looks like a team that has beaten Purdue in a lot of ways, and that they're not the thoroughbred you thought you would see in the Final Four. In fact, Purdue gets a little unlucky, in my opinion, that Duke didn't win that game. I wanted Duke. I wanted Purdue to play Duke. I thought Purdue would run through Duke. NC State is a tougher team because they've done a lot of this on grit and will. But their matchups, they are going to struggle with Purdue. Here's where that NC State can do really well, and this is the guard matchup. Taylor, Morcell, Horn, and O'Connell versus Lawyer, Smith, Jones, and Heidi/Colvin. Here's the question. Do we have Big Game Fletch in the building? I almost think it's that simple. I almost think that's the whole thing, meaning we've seen Big Game Fletch Lawyer, and I don't want to put it all in one guy because obviously I've said you got to have TKR and Gillis really play a very physical, sound brand of ball versus Diarra. You have to have Edie do what Edie has done nonstop this season, right? His bad games have been 16 and 15 games or 16 and 10 games, things like that. And in the tournament, of course, averaging 13 and 15, just absurd numbers, eye-popping numbers that don't make any sense. But you look at the guards, and all of a sudden you say, well, will O'Connell knock down his shot for NC State? Will Horn be able to drive against Purdue? And I believe you'll have Jones on Horn much of the time, and you may see Smith on Horn as well a little bit. The last game, of course, Painter did his best trying to do something different or cute, and he overthought it, and he put Smith on Connect right away. It didn't work. And like we said on the Handsome Hour, Painter was smart enough to back out of it and smart enough to say, okay, time for a change. My idea, my plan, my concept did not work. So we'll see what happens this time. The thing that I think Purdue is going to need to do more than anything, because I don't believe NC State is going to be able to light Purdue on fire, full stop. They don't have the offense that does that. Look at their last couple games. They just don't score the points like Purdue does. When Purdue's hot, let's look at that five-minute mark again versus Tennessee. Let's go back. We looked at it just last quick cast, but look at that again, and it shows how explosive and how flammable Purdue is on offense. It can come from all places, right? Even when Purdue's not shooting the three well, which in that short span, Purdue did not hit a three, and they still poured it on and really put pressure on Tennessee defensively. This, to me, is the whole thing. It's NC State's defense versus Purdue's offense for those guards. I think that's the whole thing. And so then I come down to, which team has been buying into the hype more? Which team has been enjoying themselves coming into the Final Four more? Which team is not focused right now? And you'd have to say, I had a friend who said, hey, is Purdue ready? I've seen a lot of you guys have been crying on the news and on whatever. And I said, oh, I wept. I flat out wept. And I don't know if the players took the game that, I know Gillis did. And you look at Gillis specifically as a guy that was wrung out. Like, I think he wears his heart on his sleeve, but I love the fact that he knew what this game meant to him. He knew what it meant to Painter. He knew what it meant to this fan base. Okay, the rest of Purdue players, though, and specifically Fletch Lawyer, two more games, right? That's what Fletch was flashing up right away. Zach Edey was pissed off and let it fly because all that cramming down of emotion and biting your tongue for an entire year, it released. It didn't release like it could have. He said a bad word, and some Tennessee PAs even took that offensive as a bad character move. Listen, I'm a Christian, and if you've come in here and you've listened to me for longer than 15 minutes, you've heard me curse. It's not the end of the world to curse. It's not a great thing, I'm aware, before you say anything, I'm aware. But that's not the end-all be-all for a man. And Zach Edey let it fly because he had been awaiting that moment to say, we're not what you guys thought we were. We're not what you guys thought we were. We're not soft. We do earn things. We are winners. Effing winners. And I quoted it without saying effing at the last show. I regret it a bit just because I'm like, okay, there are kids that listen sometimes. So I apologize to any parents who bring their kids into this. But Zach was due for that. Now, does this mean Purdue has bought into the the Final Four hype, where they're just like, this is it, and they've already reached their goal? We'll know soon. We'll know soon. We'll know how well Matt Painter earns his money in this game and in this venue and getting Purdue ready for the tip-off. We'll know in the first 10 minutes of the game. And here's the other thing about Purdue, and we've seen slow starts. We've seen slow starts in this tournament. The thing Purdue has been able to do in those timeouts is throw cold water on their face and say, dag nab, let's play this game. Let's play it our way, right? Pour it on right now. If I were going to make a bet, which I do not bet, if I were going to make a bet, I'd say Burns and NC State are going to play really close to Purdue for a half. We'll see what happens in the second half. And if it's close and they're at all tired, NC State, and Purdue smells blood in the water, I think it's going to be trouble for NC State. I'm not a guy who makes predictions. I generally don't do it. This is a tough matchup for NC State. And just like Mark Few said, Purdue is now the hunter. Purdue needs to exert their will on NC State and play like they're capable of playing. If you miss shots, who gives a damn? You go attack the glass, right? TKR and Edie, go eat some lunch, boys. Go hit it, right? That's the big thing. It's okay to miss shots. That's not the end of the world. And we've talked about this before. When Purdue has been off in the past, it's been death to those teams in the NCAA tournament. It was not the case this year. Shoot your worst game of the year. Get this in your head again. Purdue shoots their worst three-point percentage of the year, and they beat Tennessee, one of the best teams in America. Mainly it's because Zach Edey said, jump on board. I'm taking to the promised land, right? But more than that, the team buckled down and they made plays when they had to. It wasn't just Edey. It was Lawyer making plays. It was Jones making plays. It was Smith making plays. Gillis, TKR, name a guy, they made plays. They did not crap the game away when they didn't shoot well. And if you go back a year ago when Purdue lost to FDU, a little bit worse team than Tennessee, Purdue shot their three in the teens. And because they shot it in the teens, they were shell-shocked. They did not change their game. They did not hit the glass hard. You could see it versus Tennessee. There were moments where Purdue said, it's time to flex our muscle here. Let's see how Purdue does that in this game. I think this is a battle of wills. I like Purdue in a battle of wills. I like Purdue in a battle of talent with almost every team in America. And when I say this, I mean there's one team left that can out-talent Purdue. One team left out of the four. Side note, isn't it weird when you turn on your favorite YouTube channels, whether it's a national CBS type show or a Purdue-centric show like this one, that now we're down to four teams? We're down to your Boilermakers and three others. Isn't this noteworthy? I hope you bought yourself some Final Four gear. You saw I'm a fool and I've already bought some. And Anish texted me right before this started and asked me, where in Central Indiana can I get mine? And I went on Rally House's website. I've been on other places. There's Final Four gear around to order. I don't know if there's a ton on shelves. Dick's Sporting Goods has it, in case you're wondering. The reason I know that is LBD actually hooked me up. So, sorry. He just texted me. All right, you guys are on board here. I appreciate it. I've ranted for 23 minutes. Let me look what you guys have to say for once. So selfish of me. All right, Greg McManus is here. Hello, sir. C. Metzger says first, actually second. Metzger. D. Bunner says second. You're third. Okay, so Greg McManus got you guys. I don't know what to say. He's a competitor. He's a fighter. He gives 110%. Andy Day says afternoon, Dowd. Same to you. Matt Hosseller says, so we're able to find tickets. So were you able to find tickets? I've run into the same problem as you. My whole thing was not, it was flights. Tickets were ancillary to me because watching a game in a football stadium is absolute dog meat. It's that you, at that point, you're there just to watch on the big screen, which is fine if you're hanging around with Purdue fans and just like the buzz of the environment, which I wanted. But it was really flights. I was going to let the tickets sort themselves out there. I really wanted to be at the pep rallies, and I wanted to go to practice, and I wanted to see some of you guys and girls and hang around with, I know one of my buddies who he was my boss when I was an RA at TARC. He's going, he texted me, said, are we going to see each other, buy you a beer, whatever. And I had to tell him I'm not going. It stinks. So that type of thing is really the reason I wanted to be there. That's the biggest thing, and I was not able to get back here in a timely fashion. Motor City Boiler says fourth. Okay, and no, you're not fourth. You're fifth. You're sixth. One, two, three. You're sixth. I don't know if this is what we're going to do. Ted Berkey says, sorry, can't get to Phoenix. Sorry, you can't get to Phoenix. Thanks, Ted. Same mayor. Andy Day says, wait, you're not in Phoenix in an exact replica of your house. No, this is not just a studio that travels. That's a really, really good observation. Thank you. Ted Berkey says, why does life have to get in the way of sports fun? This is the best question, Ted, because if it didn't, I could tell you what I would do, and I could tell you the smart play. If you're really, if you've got time and your kids had spring break next week, what you could have done, well, it still doesn't work out. You'd have to take them out of school one or two days, but what you could have done is you could have said, leave Thursday, because I found that's a soft spot on the flights. Come back Wednesday. Come back Tuesday. You're A-okay. The problem that I had, one of the problems I had is... if Purdue were to lose and I had to hang around in Phoenix, I would be absolutely miserable. Like, I wouldn't be willing to go out and do any fun stuff. I don't know what you do in Phoenix, but I wouldn't be able to do that because I'd be pissed off and sad. And so I planned to go Thursday to Sunday anyway, and then the championship, watch it at AJ's or at Mackey, whatever found its way, or with friends, you know, in a watch party. So that was my idea, and it fell apart. It's all in shambles. D Bunner says Airbnb it to Tempe tomorrow. Awesome. This is great. I think a lot of you are there. I don't know if you saw it. Purdue has more tickets sold on Ticketmaster than any other group. Great to see. Purdue fans are represented. And the funny thing is there are not a lot of people. I don't think percentage wise, there are a lot of Purdue fans based out of Indiana that are going. It's Purdue fans in the nation waiting for this opportunity, which is fantastic. Purdue fans really showing out. Safety First says, I don't think we will lose to an NC State, but I can't imagine the public outcry that will occur if we lose to a double-digit seed in the Final Four. It will be bad. It will be loud. Yeah, it's... That's not a good scenario. Anish has a flowchart that we'll eventually publish, and it's very good, about potential scenarios before the Tennessee game, and it was very good, very analytical, solid stuff. Maniacally Steve says, yo, how are you? Olive Jazzer says, hey, yo. Boilermaker63 says, great to see you in Detroit, B. Dowd. Thank you. I won't be in Phoenix either, planning to watch at AJ's. Okay, maybe... I will be at AJ's on Monday if Purdue is able to buckle down and get past NC State. So that's one of my scenarios I'm looking at. And these are a lot more, even everything's been, I don't know about you guys, everything has been really tough to get focused on for me this week because I'm constantly getting texts, tweets, communications from Boilermakers that grab my attention. I can't look away from them because I have ADD or something. Whatever it is, I'm really into the Purdue news a lot more than work this week, sadly. Maniacally Steve says, losing to NC State would suck. Getting so close, double-digit seed, nonsense, yada, yada, yada. But losing to the Vols would have been way worse. Getting to the Final Four is great. And I don't want to even talk about the next scenarios. I really am not that part of, I don't want to talk about it. We should all do is we should all meet up here after the NC State and discuss it regardless. Okay, let's just do that. That's the easiest thing to do. Gary Crenshaw says, Cincy. What's that? Don't know. Going out of Cincy. Yes. Good scenario. Again, here's the problem. I'm telling you. And it's on me. Is I can't get back in time. I cannot watch the game in Phoenix. When I say watch the game, I don't want to be in the air when the game's happening. Right? So I wanted to watch the game someplace. So I had a choice. Do we leave Saturday morning, try to get back? That's almost impossible. So you want to at least be on the ground. Watch, have like a watch party in Phoenix. There will be plenty of people in Phoenix that don't make it into the stadium, I believe. Getting back is the hard part. That's for me, for my schedule. So I appreciate it. Cincinnati is one of the cities I looked at. Thank you. That's probably what you're talking about. That is one of the cities that I looked at. Sorry. It's been minutes since I talked about that. I'm sorry, Gary. Luke says, not going to make it to Phoenix, but I'll be on campus Saturday soaking up every minute. That'll be awesome. Let us know, Luke, what the feel was. That'd be good. Tweet it out to me if you're on Twitter. One big class reunion for everyone. Exactly. That's the thing I'm talking about. It's like the reunion portion of this is the best dang thing going. Nita Bienverse says, I won't be there either, and I wish I could have gone, but the most important thing is that Boiler Nation will be there. Here come the Boilers. And I think they're going to represent well. I think we're going to have a good stadium. That said, I still think the first game, if NC State is going to be the toughest environment, because you're still going to have everybody, the other three, if they're in the stadium, if they decide to come into the stadium to watch that game, they're rooting for NC State. Be very, very aware of that, Purdue and Purdue fans. Ryan Michael Anthony Harrington says, I think campus will be a lot of fun. It'll be great. Karen Gerlach says, is it Saturday yet? I'm sorry that you can't be there. Do you think we can handle NC State? I'm really worried. I feel pretty good. The psyche or our feelings, you know, as much as, you know, like I'd love to tell you that my feeling of peace or angst was a omen or a whatever or a good sign of what's to come, it doesn't matter. I don't have any nerves yet. And obviously the game's not close. It's Thursday at 2:30 in the afternoon. You've got days before the game. That's what's fun about this event. The fact there was a long break there. Purdue gets to get healthy. If I'm going to look at the real things that are good, Purdue had a chance to enjoy themselves, and now they have a chance to buckle down. I don't feel nervous right now though. And you guys know that I can get pretty wound up. Motor City Boiler says Trey was still leaner than Burns. I don't believe the 275. How much I weigh? Yeah, I don't. There's no way. There's just. Boilermaker 63 says Burns is fun to watch, but I'm interested in how they handle Diarra. I got to tell you, my son, every time he and I see Diarra playing, we always say diarrhea. And one of the questions is, how do you handle diarrhea? That's really difficult at times. So yeah, I'm a 10-year-old. Derek Mulligan says, who do you believe will be the most impactful player that isn't Edie or Smith, and why? It's Lawyer. That's my guy. And it's because if he plays well, Purdue is nearly impossible to beat, because Smith is going to get close to 10 assists almost every game. Whether he plays a good or bad game, he gets 7, 8, 9 assists, which is impacting the outcome, obviously. He throws passes to Edie that are impossible for teams to defend. He also is really tough off the drive. You saw Tennessee, they, at their own peril, they shaded off of him at times, and he just sliced them up. Jones is Jones, okay? Now, I would love to see Jones get nuclear hot, right? Just white hot and go through this team like butter. But my guess is Jones is who he is. Like, he's a guy he's incredible at finishing around the rim. He's really opportunistic when given the chance to step in front of a guy. He will sacrifice his body on big plays. The question is, which Lawyer do we get to see on offense? And his offense feeds his defense. That's the other little secret. When he's really lighting it up, he's a different defender. I think he's been a different defender all the way through this tournament. I think that's part of the reason Purdue has rolled in some of these games. So that's my dude. That's the pivotal Boilermaker, in my opinion. Jeff says, I could drive to Phoenix at 13 hours, no stops. I'd say, Jeff, if I were within, and I can't give advice here because it's a lot longer than 13 hours from where I am. I'd go exactly the same. I don't mean to give anybody advice who didn't ask for it. You didn't ask for that. But, man, being there would be great to be there. I'm lamenting. Andy Buck says, I think Diarra will guard Edie to start. Burns will guard TKR, or they'll play zone. I think that's that zone right there. Good point. Forgot to mention it. They do go into zone, and I think they will throw a zone at Purdue. And so here comes another question is, can Purdue shoot over the zone? If Purdue's shooting well, if Purdue finds their stroke again, Not to the point where you're, you know, going 6 for 10, but if you shoot the ball 40 to 42%, your average, I think NC State's in big trouble in that scenario. I think that we'll see lots of zone until Purdue gives them reason not to play zone, and then when they go into man, I think NC State will find trouble. So those are the things that kind of seems like dominoes could fall that way. If the zone is effective and keep Purdue from scoring, it's going to be harder, obviously, to get the ball into Edie against a zone. They can stay packed in, it's really going to come on the shoulders of the shooters. It's a very good point. Very good point. Let's see. Derek Mulligan says, What does NC State have to do in order to be able to give Purdue a game and potentially pull off an upset? What does Purdue need to do to ensure that doesn't happen? I think that last part is, to me, that's it. If the zone is effective, I really think this is the whole thing. If the zone is effective and they are able to keep Purdue's shooters from scoring, then that's the whole thing. So it's a lot harder. It's a lot harder for a team to do a lot against a zone if your shot is not falling, because then a team gets more and more packed in and they're able to pull down rebounds that usually are Purdue's bread and butter. Especially Edie is so good at getting a rebound over two guys, but three maybe, probability goes down. I wouldn't bet against Zach though, regardless. Maniacally Steve says NC State wins if they hit their threes and Purdue doesn't. I think it's almost that simple. I don't think it's just that simple, I'll be honest, because they're not a team that leans heavily on the three-pointer. Sure, if they go really get really hot. You know, we've seen this year. Nebraska comes to mind, but that was an amazingly fluky game. Nebraska was different at home. So, yeah, if NC State plays like Nebraska did in that game where you have three guys hitting threes, sure, that would really spell doom for Purdue or like anybody. Tim Berkey says, rivalries are strange in North Carolina. Wake views State as rival. State uses UNC as rivals. UNC views Duke as a rival. Duke students generally don't care for sports from a State grad. That's funny. Yeah, that's very funny. Yeah, the triangle is interesting. Everybody's on top of each other, too. All those close schools are so close. So it's weird that there isn't more hatred there to me. D. Bunner, too, says Courtney Green will be in town. Yeah, he's in town. I don't know if he's been assigned yet. Good. This is good news. Maniacally Steve, many of you have wondered this. Maniacally Steve has the answer, and it is, where did it go? Dagnabbit. Green is an alternate, is what he said, and my software just went all janky. Sorry. Let's see. I'm almost there. Almost there. Okay, there we go. Green is an alternate. So he will be, if you ever watched, the alternate is on the scorer's table. He's the guy that is talking to the refs and handing them the fast forward little pad that they go forward and backward with. So, yeah, so Green is an alternate. That's good news, in my opinion. But I would say the way the game was officiated last game, no fan of that. Doesn't matter. Purdue plays their game. Purdue wins. Daniel Nelson says, I was shocked to see Smith start on defense and connects, as was I. My thought was Painter wanted to keep Lance out of foul trouble. I think that's true. Do we see a similar thing with Trey starting on Burns to help save Zach? I don't know. I don't know. Well, there's a lot of people, you know, above we had that theory put out there. Eventually, those two are going to collide, and we'll see what happens. I think the game, I don't think the game's going to depend on that. I think, what, Burns have 29 points versus Duke. He absolutely went off, right? But 16 points a game before that. So, yeah, it's – I think the guards are going to decide the game. Maybe I'm wrong. So, Jim Ron says, I'm excited. Go Purdue. Adam Gofrich. I tried. Says Co? I don't know. I don't know. Maniacally Steve says Purdue would have run all over Kansas, not got Gonzaga, beat him anyway. Purdue would have run over Duke, getting NC State instead. Yeah, so you're talking about the Maui Invitational and today. So it's a good point. Good point. Dylan Kuhn noticed my glasses. Thank you, sir. These are new. And I don't know if you noticed, I try to never wear the same glasses too shows in a row. So these are brand new though. And I have another surprise. I got two pair recently. So I invest in the glasses game. I love it. Brock Stepler says, let's go Boiler up. Maniacally Steve says, maybe not quite that many, but he could feast. Yes, Daniel. Okay, that's it. Well, and Daniel retracted the message. I can't even refer back. Let's see. Nick Cristiano says, any parallels that we can draw from the overtime win a few years ago against NC State, how they play, the players still around. I think there's one player on the roster. According to Painter, one guy remains from that roster when they played NC State in Brooklyn. I think what you're going to see, here's a parallel that I'd say, is that team was really, really gritty. Like, they fought on defense. I think you'll see that again. I'm trying to think of a team. Well, Tennessee fights on defense, so Purdue is well prepared. And Tennessee, I would say Tennessee's athletes are better than NC State's athletes, and Tennessee State is long. So outside Ziegler. So I think this is just, you're going to see really good defensive teams. I'm trying to think. The funny thing is, NC State, though, statistically, and Burns referenced this, he just talked about we didn't communicate well and we weren't cohesive as a unit for most of the season. That's why they lost so many games on defense. They looked cohesive versus Duke. I mean, they completely took Duke out of their game. So take that for what it's worth. Again, Duke, Twinkie soft, whatever you want to call it, toilet paper soft, snuggle bear soft, whatever you want to say it. Soft as a cotton ball, Duke. Let's see. Daniel Nelson says next year's Final Four is in San Antonio, but 26, which B-Dowd has gone on kind of a public record saying being projected as a great year for Purdue B-ball, and is in Indy. Imagine the support bigger than Butler. And I've done this before where I thought, okay, Purdue looks like everything lines up that year, and then it doesn't go the way we want it to. And I'll also say this. Jay Wright talked about Matt Painter and the parallels. If you've seen that interview, Jay Wright is talking to Jim Jackson on the Rich Eisen show. If you have not seen the interview, I suggest go look it up. It's on YouTube. Jay Wright compares himself to Painter. He and Painter have become kind of buddies. Sounds like they talk every now and again, but talked especially in the wake of what Purdue dealt with after the FDU game. Jay Wright said his Villanova team coming into the national championship tournament, he said he was sick and tired of hearing people tell him that Villanova were bums and they weren't good, and that he was a bum as a coach and a crappy tournament coach, whatever. He said, and he heard it all. And he said, when I mean I heard it, it fell on my ears and it hit me in the heart. So coming into that tournament, he said, my players were ready and I really wasn't, which is really interesting that kids put it behind them. You know, in spite of being on social media, the college kids were able to put it behind them. He said, after we got through that first game, it was like pressure was off us and we rolled. Let's not forget, Jay Wright went to, I think, one or two Final Fours before winning Natty, and then got two national titles in 3 years. But the pressure being alleviated of a coach, he changes the way he does things, meaning, I know how to do this. I've done it before. Maybe he doesn't get as anxious physically. Maybe he doesn't show the anxiety as much. Whatever it is, I think there's a good analogy for Matt Painter and Jay Wright. Regardless if Purdue wins today or wins Monday, I feel that's a good analogy. So those are my thoughts on that. And yes, the Final Four is in Indy in 2 years. Logistics for me to get downtown Indianapolis are a bit better. All right. Andy Buck says, Smith will flirt with a triple-double. About to see a maestro conduct a masterpiece. All right. That would be these are tough defensive guards on NC State. So it's going to take a really, really good effort by Smith for Purdue to be on their A game, and I think he's due. Prakash P says, for those of a little more flexible, Cleveland had reasonable tickets. Yes, they did. Very good tickets, actually. Again, it's for me, it's two-factor, three-factor, whatever you want to say. The price of the tickets mattered, and the schedule getting back was really, really hard. Really hard for me, and that's nothing anybody else can talk about. Daniel Nelson says, I got family and friends going to Phoenix, but I'm going to be watching the game in my house with only my wife and animals, also wearing the same clothes. They have been washed after each one. So a little bit of superstition there, maybe, Daniel. Whatever works for you, that's all right. And watching it in a closed group, I get that. I understand that. I hope it works for us, because I think everybody's happy that you washed your clothes. Karen Gerlach says, thanks for the quick cast. Helps me get through the day waiting for Saturday. I'm hoping to do one more, Karen, at least before the game. So that could be tomorrow or Saturday. Not sure. I'm just hoping to do it. That's it. Today, I hoped to have my son's big brain do some analysis on numbers. True analytical deep dive. Instead, you've got me doing whatever I did there at the beginning. That's my analysis. It's about as good as it gets for me. I'm not a numbers guy. Nicholas Steve says, NC State regular rotation players 100% different from the last time they played Purdue. Yes, the rotation's completely different. Like I said, I think one player is on the roster. EWMverse says, haven't bought Final Four gear yet, but I donated to get a copy of the Exponent Final Four edition. No regrets. Yes. Dylan says, Choo Choo Mothers. Ancient Atomic Immortality says, UConn might be the most cocky bunch ever. Yeah, I got to tell you, Boy, I hope Purdue gets the championship for that very reason. I love playing teams that think they have all the cards. I love it. Matt Painter has been an underdog his whole damn career at Purdue. I think even when Purdue is good, teams count them out. This is a comfy sweater for Matt Painter if he can get to the championship. He can get those guys ready for that game. I don't doubt it. The question is, are the guys buckled down for Saturday? That's my big question. Jay says, this is the Colvin or Heidi game. I'm good with that. Maniacally Steve says, he says, same need of being versed. Ben Carnahan says, my dad, class of 75 grad, my brother, 09 grad, me and my wife. That's good. 13 grads are all going. Class of 13 grads are all going. Oh, so this is a big group. This is good. All going to Phoenix, I think, is what he's saying. So that's great. I love it. I love it. Wish I could be there with you guys. And I really wanted to do a quick guess. And I really wanted to do it. It doesn't matter. Got to make lemonade. Ancient Atomic Immortality says UConn fans are petitioning for all other teams to forfeit because they seriously think they'd beat Purdue by 25 points. I love it. I love it. Also, they're in a press bunch because their plane couldn't get them there. They had travel problems, travel boo-boos. So they only got there 3 days before their game. Whatever. Greg Manis says Payne is having to officiate a high school lacrosse game at 6 p.m. Central Time on Saturday. Man, you signed up, brother. I'll be checking my phone at every break. You calling sick? Don't do that. Or do that. Can you find is there some sort of referee board, officials board, where you can say, hey, I'll get you next Saturday if you get me this Saturday. Olive Jazzer says the DJ Burns stuff is massively overblown. He'll be eating up both ends of the court, but let's imagine Edie getting in foul trouble and then TKR has one of his go-off games. That'd be sweet. Yeah, that'd be fun to kind of see the guard let down a little bit and then TKR to go off. That'd be really, really great. My software just went dumb again, so this is good. I have to scroll through while I do it. Let's see. Is that John Harrell? No. All right, let's get over here. Let's get down here. I'm gonna fast forward a little bit. Thanks to everybody who's being here. Typovich one says, in your opinion, how much does the Final Four improve recruiting? I don't know. Purdue's been recruiting pretty well, and bigger than that, I think Painter is getting the guys that he really wants in the program. It sure as hell doesn't hurt though, does it? Right? I mean, like, that's the thing. Like, this is a bit of a coup for Painter because now the narrative that the negative recruiting on the other side, that's the thing. That's gone. Painter can't win in March. He loses to lower teams, whatever. Choose your poison, other coach. You don't got it anymore. And so that's really, really great for recruiting. Jay Woods says, made it to the Final Four on Easter and have the opportunity to play for a national championship on the Eclipse. What a perfectly fitting Purdue story of redemption in space. It's a lot of fun. The odds are long of these things, and it seems like a perfect time. Why not now? Why not now, Boilermakers? Daniel Nelson says, I'm just glad that all of my years of always picking Purdue to go to the go far in the bracket have paid off. Also, I hope I end up winning the boiled sports bracket. I don't know if you're up there. I don't know what your name is there. There was somebody in the 99th percentile in our bracket, 99 point something. Maybe you. I don't know, because it was like boiler something. Yeah, I'm horrible at that. I'm horrible. And yeah, like I said, call me. I'm Thomas in this whole thing. And the redemption story where on Redemption Sunday, as Rob Blackman said, non-believers return to believers. I was Thomas. I was Thomas. I just, I wanted to see proof. And many, many years of watching Purdue losing the tournament in person and on TV had me shook, quite frankly. And you know, I keep coming back as a fan, but darn it. Yeah, I was not you, Daniel, that's for sure. And I'll admit it. And I've admitted to you guys over and over when I'm wrong, I've been wrong. Systematic says we should probably discuss the photo of Edie walking the girl into the dorm room. That's a real story this week. I'm not going to discuss that. I'm not. Why would I discuss that? I'm not a news organization. I don't. I'm not going to. No. Ancient Atomic Immorality, Edie at least made up for it by blocking of blocking the Spalding into the stratosphere when he missed the free throw. Nemanja Chalison says, and we're debating if this is really Nemanja Chalison. Internally, we did that, Boiled Sports. The special IU fans that used to solve every problem with yelling banners transitioning to yelling FDU last year. Did this Purdue team quiet them, or they just keep divert back to banners? Here's the thing. I've got a belief on this. The question alone makes me think you're not really Nemanja Chalison, because I don't think ex-players think that much about those chants. But I like the name still. Props for the name. I think you've got a moving target here with morons. This is how they debate. They give you a line in the sand, and they move the line in the sand. The next one, if Purdue were blessed enough to earn a national championship, you'd say, you only have one. We got five. Sure, they happened when your grandpa was there, but that doesn't matter. Or they happen, many of them happen before the modern NCAA tournament. They happen before the three-point line. It doesn't matter. Don't worry about it. That's what I'd say. Be content in who you are. This is the whole thing. This is the key to life, if you want to ask me. Gratitude. Be thankful for what you got. That's it. That's the whole thing in life. If you're grateful for what you have, dang, I mean, life is so much better. Comparative economics are not fun. So Blake Widmer says, you aren't making the trip? Bummer. I'm in the Atlanta airport on my way to Phoenix. Excellent. Represent me and all of us well. I love it. It's fantastic. Wish I was there with you in the Atlanta airport eating a pretzel. There's the scenario. I wish we were in the Atlanta airport together eating an Auntie Anne's cinnamon-coated pretzel. There's my scenario, but sadly, I'm home and it's a little chilly. Let's see. Nemanja Chalison's second question. If the Boilers grab the natty, do said IU fans try to lean on the quantity? Yes, they do. Yep, absolutely. Jim Ron says, NC State and UConn men's and women's teams are in the Final Four. It's an accomplishment. It's a big deal. It's good for them. It's hard to get to the Final Four. Men's or women's, it's hard. Purdue fans know this. We should appreciate that. Good for them. Maniacally, I got nothing against NC State. Again, I'll just reiterate that. I got nothing against NC State. I like that. I like the school, like the coach, seemingly like the culture, like the whole thing. Maniacally, C says, I love every time Dowd says ancient atomic immortality. Immorality? Immortality. I said it wrong that time. I butchered it. Some of these names, I feel like you guys just chose them to make me look stupid, so well done. Many of these, I just butcher them. I mispronounce them. Jacob Foster says, two wins away, let's win the whole damn thing. Word. Ryan Shea says, student here. Awesome. Not sure if I want to go to Mackey and watch with my buddies. In private. Atmosphere and a little screen, or immense and able to analyze like usual. Okay, so immersed. Sorry. Listen, first off, Ryan, thanks for being here. Thanks for tuning in. Tell your friends to tune into Boiled Sports. We need some youth around here. I'll be real honest. I'm just going to speak for myself, not everybody. Greg is a youthful man, for instance. And Greg's a diehard Boiled Sports guy. But here's the thing I would say. Regardless if you're there watching with your pals in your apartment or dorm or whatever, and you got to do it because you're a wreck like I am, I get it. The big thing is soak up the moment. Just enjoy it for what it is, whether it is if there's stuff going on at campus, do that. Post game, especially if we're blessed enough to see another Purdue victory here, dagnab. This is when I really wish I was in your position. I don't know if you've heard me say this, but I was on campus when Purdue lost to Duke in Knoxville. And so that scenario, Ryan, I always wanted to see that happen. So good on you for being there. This is what a great period of time. You get to see Purdue get to the Final Four, and you get to see Purdue go to a Big Ten championship in football if you were there last year, which I'm just assuming that you're not a freshman. Regardless, what a great time to be a Boilermaker fan. It's always great, but that's exceptional. A friend of mine, John Harrell, who comes on here regularly and listens to live podcasts, he chose Purdue over Illinois, I believe, because the Illinois family connection. And he went there, and Purdue was horrible in football. Like, absolutely awful. And I think in basketball, it wasn't great, if I'm remembering correctly. Maybe I'm wrong. I think 2 years weren't great. But good on you for being there. That's great. Let's see. I'm going to go down here a little bit. TD1 Steve says, not being able to get to Zona probably moves – the line from 8.5 to 7. Yeah, me not getting there. it's gotta really weigh heavy on those players' heads and hearts. Thank you. I don't think so. Thank you. Let's see. Dead Hoosier says, boiler up, friends. I think Purdue would win versus NC State without Zach. I believe in these guys. Purdue's good team. Purdue's good without Zach. We saw it in Europe. They're good without Zach. Different team, different style of play. Payton has to change his game plan, obviously, when you don't have a center, as he calls, with the right of first refusal every possession. Let's go. Jim Ron says, I'm excited for the first big football game next season to see the stadium bumping when the basketball team comes back. Yeah, that'll be awesome. And the spring game is a week away. It's next weekend, right? So I'm going to try to be there. The only thing that keeps me away is inclement weather, and it might keep me away. We'll see. It's been a really, really fun spring weather-wise. Let me keep going. Good job, Greg, going after saying hi to Ryan Shea. Appreciate that. Dylan Kuhn says, did somebody say youth? I'm here. Yes, Dylan, you're here, and you are very youthful, and you're very sturdy, and I appreciate you're here. Appreciate you're here. Youth, I mean, comparative youth, right? Is that what we're going to say? Because, I mean, Dylan's he's a successful businessman and a rancher. I don't know if I could use the term rancher, but I think that's accurate. And also successful podcaster as well. He's a regular Renaissance man. Tripod, who I don't think I've read from today, says quantity won't matter if we win. Quantity won't matter if we win. We'll be in their snooty club if they do the five-finger thing and we hold up one finger. I think you know which one you hold up. Yeah, there you go. That's a reference to IU fans, the class, the cleverness of the IU fan. Systematic says, the thing about the girl in the dorm room was a joke, by the way. Okay, so, okay, I'm good. I don't know. See, truth be told, I would stay away from social media altogether if it wasn't for Boiled Sports. I really believe that. I'm on Instagram a little bit, but when I say a little, it's tiny. I don't know. I really don't know about rumors. There was that other rumor going around a week ago with Zach. And I'm like, just let's shut up with this stuff. Everybody wants to knock someone off a perch. Everybody does. Especially Tennessee fans. Idiots. Dylan says, knocking on the door of the 30s. It's downhill from here. Man, you are old, bro. Okay. It only gets better, Dylan. It only gets better. And I think many of the people in this margin will tell you, it just gets better after 30. John Harrell's here. He said, yes, I had the Johnson brothers playing when they started Purdue. So John Harrell got to watch Daryl Hazel football and then the Johnson brothers in basketball. Yeah. And so it's funny, like if it wasn't for the tremendous degree that John got, I would have been apologizing to him because John and I hung out when he was in high school. He was in my small group of church, or I was in his small group of church, his group. As he said, this guy's a wise guy, by the way. That's a good dude there, John Harrell. But I could tell you a great story about him. I'm not going to do it because it's really different. But John's a good guy. But he had to endure some pretty crappy basketball before it got better. I think you saw that's the Hammonds and Davis team that kind of resurrected things and got them back. So there's a little bit of getting better there. So yeah, rough run though. But you went there for school. So that and to get injured on the intramural field. Andres says, what up, Nemanja? Let's see. Boiler Mom says, return Red Eye American 245 through Chicago to St. Louis. Get off the plane at 5:45 a.m. Be home by 9 a.m. Sunday. $390 all in. 5:44. Return Red Eye American. Okay, so I got you. You're going American Red Eye, American Airlines Red Eye. 2:45 a.m. St. Louis, Chicago. I'm so confused by that, but I get what you're saying. It means you're just toughing it out, is what you're saying. That's pretty macho. And you that fills all of my requirements. So do I dare? Sure, I'll try. I'll look at that. So that leaves from Phoenix and it finally lands in St. Louis, is what you're saying. Is that correct, Boiler Mom, if I'm reading that correctly? Phoenix on American to St. Louis. So the problem, here's the other problem. So I'd have to fly out of St. Louis. Damn it, why am I doing this? I mean, I'd have to leave like now, wouldn't I? If I, well, especially, I wanted to be there for the dunk contest and three-point contest, which is tonight at 6-something. So that plan's already dead. Dylan says he's very sturdy. Yeah, going on your Twitter. Yes, you are very sturdy. You're a very sturdy dude. Also very huggable. I'll give you, that's a hard combo. That's a hard combo. And I've got a little bit of that going for myself. Greg McManus says, John endured Hazel and Paint's two worst seasons. That's character builder. Yeah, it is. It is. And he grew up an Illinois fan too. So he has lots of character builders, but look where he came out on this side. Beautiful, beautiful man. Tripod, is this the same John Harrell who does excellent high school basketball website? I don't think so. I would almost bet no, that's not the same John Harrell. He'll tell you if he's still on it. He may have left. He's got to work. He's got a big boy's job. Nita Beamverse says, Boiler Mom is tougher than me. Not afraid to say it. Yeah, everybody's tougher than me. I'll at my age, I'm soft. I'm like Trapowski. Maniacally Steve says, Dowd's doing the geometry GIF in real time. Yeah, exactly. Lots of numbers. Oh, lots of airport codes. Exactly, I am. Dylan says, time out. The BS mini helmet in the background. Yes, it's been there the whole time, man. It's been there for 2 months, I think. So I've got that, and I've got Chris Harder's Poppin's Pub up there. And if you don't know, Dylan made that helmet. That's the cool thing. Dylan made that helmet. And Chris sent me that, so just really appreciate it. So I think that's it. I think that's it. Look at that. Over an hour. Damn it, you guys. All right. Thanks to everybody for tuning in. There was some real analysis before I got off the rails like I do every single show, but always fun to interact. Is there going to be, we talked about a Zoom call. I don't think I'm going to get on a Zoom call, not anytime soon, but this has been fun. And like I said, I'm going to try to do at least one more quick cast of some sort with a topic to start with, a kernel, something to talk about before we go off track and talk about things that I don't understand. And I try to figure out life on the air. Boiler Mom says, Allegiant 1657, BLV, Las Vegas. Goodness gracious. Oh my gosh. I don't know what to do here. There's so much in here. Mercy. Yeah, John Harrell says, I don't do the high school sports stats. Different guy who's older than me. But barely, John. You're an old man. No, your knees are old. John's a young man, by the way. He's a young man who looks younger than he actually is, if you've ever met John. I think that's fair. He's got a boyish charm to him, which I have none of that anymore. When John met me, I used to have boyish charm. So it's been a little while. Yeah, Andy Day says, nice, tidy, quick cast. Yep, just as usual. That's why I put the quick and quick cast. By the way, I'm pretty sure I named the Handsome Hour. Jay and I named Boiled Sports, which is a great name. But I think I named the Handsome Hour out of tongue-in-cheek, obviously. And Jay and I had been wrestling with what the name would be years ago. What would our podcast be called? And I know I named the quick cast. And I'm really inaccurate with my name. That's all I can say. So... very nice, tidy, quick cast. That's it. I mean it now. Thanks for... I'm sure there's an over-under on how many will I read after I say I'm done. But I mean it this time. I'm done. God bless you. Hammer down. We're going to talk to you soon. See you on Twitter. It's a wonderful place. It's not. But we'll talk to you soon. Let's look ahead to NC State. Late.